Good evening. For those that are visiting here with us this evening, I'd like to make this little disclaimer. I am not the preacher here. The men of the congregation have decided that they'll let the men volunteer to preach every fifth Sunday of the month, and so I volunteered. A lot of you this morning asked me if I was ready, if I was prepared to do the sermon this evening, and I kind of had to hold in my chuckles a little bit because the title of my sermon is "Am I Prepared?" And I'd like to kind of reword that a little bit and ask, "Are you prepared?" Before I begin, I thought it'd be appropriate to give thanks where thanks is due. I'm kind of a coward, and I probably wouldn't normally have the courage to come up here and speak to you guys. But my oldest daughter, Kana, she's been asking me for about a year now when I was going to actually get up here and preach a sermon to you guys. I figured it was about time to make her happy. Also, I need to thank my wife for being such an inspiration and such a supportive wife. All right. I'm honored to preach here tonight. A few years ago, I was at work right after I came on the department. And I was thinking about my job and about God and kind of how they kind of meshed a little bit. And I had this idea for a Wednesday night invitation. I work Wednesday nights now, so I couldn't really make this into an invitation for Wednesday night. So I made it a little bit longer, and hopefully I turned it into somewhat of a sermon. I would like to start by saying that the sermon is meant to help all of us look at ourselves and see how we're living through the eyes of our judge. See what we can do to improve ourselves so we can pass the final test. All right, so let's start our adventure together tonight. If you're feeling up to it, if you're able, I would like all of you guys to kind of close your eyes, and we're going to imagine something here. If there's anybody here who's under the age of 16, you're going to have to use a lot of imagination tonight. All right, now imagine this. You're driving down the highway, engrossed in conversation with your best friend in the whole world, when all of a sudden, whoop! Yep. Look in your rearview mirror, and what do you see? The red and blue lights flashing behind you, right? And you think, huh, are those for me? What did I do wrong? I don't think I was speeding. What could this be about? And as you're pulling over to the shoulder and you see the officer walking up on the right-hand side, you think to yourself, am I getting ready to be judged by him? If he only knew who I was, he wouldn't judge me. He wouldn't give me a ticket for speeding. He would know that this was an accident. I didn't do this on purpose. All right, you can open your eyes. The imagination time is over. So, as an officer of the law, you have to make judgments. Whether you like to or not, you have to. If an officer sees a violation of the law, he's supposed to take appropriate action to stop that violation. When an officer observes a suspected drunk driver, they're supposed to stop that driver and run a series of standardized tests to determine whether that driver is under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or if he's sober and can continue on down the road. He has to determine if there's sufficient evidence to prove that person is under the influence or not. The officer has to make a judgment based on those tests, whether the individual is under the influence and needs to be arrested or not. These standardized tests are called SFSTs, Standardized Field Sobriety Test Questions, or Standardized Field Sobriety Tests. These tests are scientifically validated, and they're expounded upon in the Highway Patrol Manual 70.4, which is affectionately referred to by Highway Patrol officers as the DOI Bible. Right, God has his own manual outlining his standards for passing judgment on mankind. It's his Holy Bible. In it, he tells us what we need to do prior to Judgment Day to be saved and what the final test is going to be. He's given us the answer key, and all we have to do is study it to pass the final exam, right? How many people in here, if they were in school and their teacher said, "We're going to have a final exam next week, and here's the answer key. Trick is, you don't get to bring it with you on the test. You have to have it memorized prior to the test." How many people in here wouldn't memorize that key 100% so that way they could pass the test the following week? God's given us that key. We need to use it. In the field, an officer will ask a DUI suspect pre-field sobriety test questions. So these are questions that you ask prior to actually giving the tests. It's to rule out certain things. Some of those questions are, do you know where you are right now? Do you know where you're going? And do you know where you're coming from? Let's look at what some of God's pre-FST questions are. Let's call these pre-field salvation test questions. Number one, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We're going to look in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Now, this is Jesus talking. And he says, "And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." Also, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. "But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Some other familiar verses that we would use to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are Mark 16:16 and John 3:16. Question number two, have you sinned? We're going to look in Romans chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. You'll probably want to leave your thumb in Romans. We're going to be using that a little bit tonight. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed." So there we have it. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To this date, there is only one man who has walked the face of the earth who is sinless. It wasn't me, and it isn't you. All of us are sinners. Some people say, "Well, I'm a good person, and that'll get me to heaven." I'm sure they are good people. But we all know good people, and they still sin. Question number three. Are you ready to give your life to God? This falls in line with the Highway Patrol pre-FST question, where are you going? Are you driving through life under the influence of the world, intoxicated by its fleeting pleasures? If you are, then consider this question a wake-up call. It's time to stop filling yourself with the world and time to start drinking in the living waters of God that don't cloud your judgment or lead to death and destruction. Let's read James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Question number 4. Are you ready to be obedient? Submission is obedience. Submitting to God, we submit to God, we're obeying Him. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Just a couple pages over. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And we're going to flip back to Romans. We're going to read from chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that through you were slaves, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. But thanks be to God that... I started reading it all over again. Okay, so we need to submit to God in order to be saved. Question number 5. What is baptism and why is it needed? Baptism is obedience to what God has commanded in the Word, but it is not our final act of obedience. It's the first step to living a life of obedience to God. We're going to read Romans again, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And also Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." All right, now we're going to move on to a section of the lesson I like to call the field salvation test. We're going to see if we're ready to be judged by God. Some of you may have seen or heard of some of the field sobriety tests done by officers on TV, on YouTube, or whatever. Some of the most familiar, or the most familiar one that you see on TV is the walk and turn. Put one foot in front of the next, and you just walk a straight line, turn around and walk a straight line back. These FSTs, field sobriety tests, they're the final judgments prior to an officer making an arrest. Some of the things that they test are your balance, your ability to multitask. We're going to cover balance tonight. Are you swaying from side to side? Are you dipping into the world? Are you dipping into the Word and then falling away? Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging to one another, envying to one another." We're also going to read Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign over your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, but you are not under law, but under grace." And also Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 39. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the body of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember the former days, when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness, one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith in the persevering of the soul, preserving of the soul. Excuse me. It's a lot of reading. All right, so the next sobriety test, salvation test, is walk the line. Have you stepped off the line, or even worse, turn your back to God? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Watch the path of your feet, and in all your ways, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. In 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 22. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, "A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallow in the mire." So we've been warned not to turn our back on God, but to walk the straight line, to stay on the straight and narrow, right? Are we living our lives for God or for ourselves? We're going to read Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So Jesus lived his life for us, and we need to live our life for him. How did you do on the pre-FSTs? If you haven't passed those, then it's time to start thinking about changing your life. If you don't change your life, it's guaranteed that you won't pass the final exam. Where do you stand with God? Do you need prayers or help from your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you're ready to give your life to God and be baptized, please come forward now. Let us stand and sing.